You know how much I love my pillow, how much it's changed my life for the better. Well, I figured it was about time that I let you know about my pillow sheets. Now, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. That's why he has created the new Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Now, these sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza, that's only grown in a very small region where the Sahara Desert, Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River all meet to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. These Giza sheets are available in a variety of colors. They come with Mike's 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. The first night you sleep on these sheets, it's heaven. You'll never want to sleep on anything else. Now, right now, you, my listeners, you're going to save 30% and get free shipping when you use the promo code Sean7, S-E-A-N 7, when you go to MyPillow.com. Again, that's promo code Sean7, S-E-A-N 7, at MyPillow.com. All right, happy Friday, and yes, we made it. It's been a long news-breaking week. Next week, we'll get more of the same. We expect the Mueller report Monday or Tuesday. The media will try to find the one sentence, the one phrase, the one... See, he didn't want General Flynn charged. By the way, the FBI didn't even think he was lying. He hoped that he wouldn't get in trouble. Didn't stop any investigation. You know, all these people on the left, they care about obstruction. They're just liars. I keep using the same example. If they cared about obstruction of justice, Hillary Clinton, all of those people would look at what she did with those subpoenaed emails, and they, like me and others, would say that is obstruction. There was great intent there to demolish and eliminate any memory of the emails. And now we know, thanks to Tom Fitton and Judicial Watch, yeah, they took a sampling of only 40 of her emails. And what do we know? Four of them, top secret classified information on the emails. It's unbelievable. But what the Democrats and what the media mob is not telling you, this is their last gasp. Whatever lines they may pull out of the Mueller report that they are going to fixate and focus on is going to be meaningless in the end, because of everything that they have ignored for 2.5 years is now going to be made public. You know, the things that we learned this week about the general counsel of the FBI under Jim Comey, that being James Baker, and how James Baker, number one lawyer at the FBI, thought that Hillary, in fact, should be indicted. It's a clear violation. If you have four emails that are marked classified top secret on a secret server, that is a felony, a violation of the Espionage Act. Now, considering we've watched a lot of people get, you know, perp walked, and we've watched a lot of pre-dawn raids and, you know, early morning with 27 people or whatever showing up, CNN cameras there to capture it all. What was that in the Roger Stone case? You know, we've seen a lot of process crimes that they've gone after. Now, granted, I'm glad, on the one hand, I am glad that one thing about the Mueller report, but we knew it was happening ahead of time. Anyone that listened to Devin Nunes, you know, I've gone back and read his column, 2014, I think it was the Washington Times or the Washington Examiner, one or the other. And in that, he warned us. He told us about the hostile regime of Putin and their history of doing the same thing, trying to create chaos in the electoral process of other countries. This is what they do. And he warned the then Obama administration. Nobody seems to really care that it was the Obama administration. And they did nothing to fix it. Nothing to prepare for it. Absolutely nothing. And it happened on their watch. So as the media, you know, I can tell you exactly what they're going to do next week. They're going to look at this line. Oh, is it possible that he really did fire? Comey thinks he got fired now. Now he thinks he got fired because of obstruction. Everyone forgets Comey said under oath that he can get fired for any reason or no reason at all.
When I was appointed FBI director in 2013, I understood that I served at the pleasure of the president. even though I was appointed to a 10-year term, which Congress created in order to underscore the importance of the FBI being outside of politics and independent, I understood that I could be fired by a president for any reason or for no reason at all.
Yeah, for any reason, no reason at all. So I guess, is that obstruction? Let's say, so Donald Trump calls Mueller's witch hunt a witch hunt. Okay, well, they actually concluded that there was no evidence of collusion, none whatsoever. I mean, this is the funny thing about this. You know, everybody talks about the Attorney General, William Barr. The reason that William Barr gets to decide whether he will release any or all of the Mueller report is because that's what the Democrats wanted. How many people? We have 17 current Democrats, including Gerald Nadler himself, that never wanted the Starr report released on Clinton impeachment. They wanted to keep it hidden. It proves again that they are but political. It's like, we'll bludgeon Justice Kavanaugh for insane allegations by Michael Avenatti's client about how every other weekend almost that these kids were spiking the punch bowl and getting these girls intoxicated and lining up in the hall and gang raping these girls. Again, almost every other weekend. No due process, no presumption of innocence, which, by the way, Michael Avenatti is now saying he deserves for himself, but he didn't deserve it for, you know, he didn't reserve that or fight for that for Justice Kavanaugh. And the media put him on a whopping 254 times in the year leading up to his legal troubles. And I'm sure they'll have him on again. Why did they want him on so much? Because he's, you know, a rage, hate Trump, you know, media mob fan. And that's basically it. So what is happening, though, they get their last gasp. What can they talk about obstruction? Mueller was never fired. Comey was fired, but he didn't need a reason to fire Comey. We now know from the testimony of James Baker this week, they were thinking about wearing a wire, the 25th Amendment, all these upper echelon people that we now know abused their power and hated Donald Trump and had an insurance policy from the get-go in case he won. We know a lot of things happen. And now, after they have their Monday and Tuesday, and they'll try to stretch it to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, this is it for the collusion delusion. It's over. They have nothing else that is coming. Nobody's going to pay attention to what Gerald Nadler says because they got rid of the independent counsel law, the Democrats did, and then they made the special counsel law so that the attorney general would have the leeway to decide what does or does not become public. And to watch, you know, what's happening with the media mob freaking out that the attorney general has stated what is an irrefutable fact, that the Trump campaign was spied on by our own federal government. They're freaking out. These people better buckle up, because the Barr investigation that he started this week, that he has told us he is going through a full investigation into the abuse of power, the use of our intelligence weapons against our own people, you know, and FISA abuse, which is going to be one of the biggest corruption scandals ever, as we've been telling you. You know, they can't handle this. We have the criminal referrals that are beginning, the Barr investigation. We have IG Horowitz's report on FISA. We have the Uber report on leaking. We have more closed-door testimony. Oh, it's all coming, including people like McCabe and probably people like Comey. Then, of course, my last interview with the president, he said he would release the FISA applications themselves. The bulk of evidence was, of course, the dirty Russian dossier paid for by Hillary. And then it will be clear and obvious to everybody that a fraud was committed on the FISA court, that our constitutional rights were just shredded in the process. Then the Gang of Eight materials, where we know that the FBI themselves admit that they handled all of this in a wrong way. And the 302s and the Ukrainian issue, et cetera, et cetera. I don't care if it's the surveillance and denial of constitutional rights to Carter Page or unmasking at a at an increase of 350% Americans? Well, unmasking means they surveil other countries, which we want our intelligence community to do to keep us safe. They're supposed to minimize if they find an American is on the line talking to a foreigner. Usually reports are that whoever the target of the warrant is, you listen to them, you surveil them, and if you write up a report, you just say American. You do not unmask that American, even if you know who it is. That's what the law requires. And then to unmask at a rate of 350% in that election year, well, that means they're abusing the powerful tools of intelligence for political purposes. If that's the case, we're not going to have a country. Make no mistake about it. The Trump campaign was spied on in numerous ways by the Obama administration. And now it will be investigated by the Attorney General Barr. Any and all wrongdoing by the FBI and DOJ as they went along their witch hunt against Donald Trump. And of course, swamp monsters are scattering like rats, you know, I guess led by Jim Comey, who lives in another universe. He doesn't even, well, is surveillance really like spying? He's like, is that?
I really don't know what he's talking about when he talks about spying on the campaign. And so I can't really react substantively. When I hear that kind of language used, it's concerning because the FBI and the Department of Justice conduct court-ordered electronic surveillance. I have never thought of that as spying. If the Attorney General has come to the belief that that should be called spying, wow, that's going to require a whole lot of conversations inside the Department of Justice. But I don't know what he meant by that term. And factually, I don't know what he meant because I don't know of any electronic surveillance aimed, court-ordered electronic surveillance aimed at the Trump campaign.
Aimed at the Trump. No idea what he's talking about. Okay. Really, Jim, are we supposed to believe? Let me break it down. Mr. Super, you know, a lot of these people think they're super patriots. They believe we are smelly Walmart people. They think they're smarter than us. Why do you think, why did they rig the investigation into Hillary? Why did the general counsel say, the classified top secret private email server in a mom and pop shop bathroom closet's illegal? Because it had all that sensitive information. By the way, we believe at least six foreign intelligence agencies broke into. To the point where, as Judicial Watch in their FOIA request points out, when people became aware of it, they knew sources, methods, and relationships with foreign countries were in jeopardy because of the stupidity of it and the recklessness of it all. And then to cover it all up, it's the biggest case of obstruction we've ever seen in our lives. You know, and on top of that, we got the whole dossier issue. You know, remember, it was Rod Rosenstein that said, to get a FISA warrant, don't play it, a career law enforcement official must swear that the information is true and accurate. And if it's wrong, that person is going to face consequences. Okay, Jim Comey signed the first FISA warrant. And again, the bulk of information, the dirty, bought and paid for Russian lies of Hillary Clinton and never verified or corroborated the bulk of that information. And oddly enough, the fourth FISA warrant, the third renewal warrant, was signed by Rod Rosenstein himself. You know, and even its author doesn't stand by it. Christopher Steele doesn't stand by it. I have no idea if any of this is true. No idea whatsoever. You know, the people that are involved in this, this was an attempted coup. This was an attempt to elect one favored candidate over the hated candidate. The guy that interviews Hillary, allows two people in the room with her, interviews her July 2nd. Comey exonerates her on the 5th, even though the evidence is overwhelming and incontrovertible. Well, if Michael Flynn did it, forget it, get the rest of his life in jail. We can't have a dual justice system, one for the Democrats, one for liberals, one for the Clintons, and one for the rest of us. All right, we'll get into all of this. We got a lot to get to today. The media has no idea what's about to hit them. We've been right. They've lied to you and have been wrong and have bought into tinfoil hat conspiracies, and the reckoning is coming. And to those that abuse power, the same. Smoking is not about politics. It's about people. There are 34 million Americans that smoke. But for me, Juul was a game changer. Because you switch to Juul, it's simple, it's satisfying, and no more smell. I watch people all the time. They run outside in the freezing cold. It can be grabbing their cigarette. Well, with Juul, you'll take a quick puff and you're good. That's it. Now, Juul is designed with smokers in mind. From its form to technology, it's easy to use, no buttons, no switches. And the goal of Juul is to impact the lives of adult smokers by providing a satisfying alternative. Switch to Juul. You'll wish you had done it a long time ago. To discover the smoking alternative that is nothing like any e-cig vape you have ever tried, go to this website, juul.com/Switch America. That's juul.com/Switch America. Warning, this product contains nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. juul.com/Switch America. So, as the media is, they just can't wait to release the Mueller report. Why are there any redactions? Sources and methods can't be revealed to save lives? Let's see, innocent people can't have their lives upended. It's illegal to release any grand jury testimony. Illegal, you're not allowed to do it. And those would be the three things that are going to, there's no executive privilege that is being invoked. Here's what the two things here. This is from not Donald Trump. This is from the letter the Attorney General Barr sent, the four-page letter, about when he's going to release. He said, he quoted the Mueller report, quote, "The investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities." Those are Mueller's words from Mueller's report. He didn't make a decision on obstruction. He just laid out the case as the law that the Democrats wanted, and very quickly, even Rod Rosenstein said no evidence, it doesn't rise to the level of obstruction. But the same people that are going to try and tell you on Monday, it's obstruction, obstruction, will never talk about Hillary's obstruction, which was the biggest slam dunk case ever in history. And they're still just ratcheting it up. Now, they're so mad at Barr for admitting, yeah, the truth that the Trump campaign was spied on. They have no idea what's about to hit them. They're about to be exposed as the liars, the tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists they are. Once the criminal referrals become public, once the Barr investigation, which seems real, happens, once the Horowitz report on FISA abuse is out and the Huber report on leaking, once more closed-door testimony in the FISA applications and Gang of Eight materials and 302s, and now Ukraine admitting they interfered to help Hillary, how are they going to, they're going to lose their minds, I predict. Want to remind you, too, if you're an unhappy timeshare owner, you went on a vacation, you're having the time of your life, somebody says you can duplicate this every year for the rest of your life, and then you never end up going back. And then you realize there are other nice places I could go to, and I could better use that money. But every year you got to pay the maintenance fees and whatever other fees associated with it. You wish you never did it. Well, there's a way out thanks to my friends at Lone Star Transfer, Brian and Karen. They run a family-owned business. They will make sure that your experience is a pleasant one. They will get you out of your timeshare legally, ethically, and quickly. I have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and this is what they do. Don't let another year go by and you're paying all this money for a timeshare you're never going to use. Now, two ways to get them. Online at LoneStarTransfer.com, all right? Or give my friends a call, no obligation. Call #250 on your mobile, keyword timeshare. Just hit #250 on your mobile phone, say the keyword timeshare, or just go to LoneStarTransfer.com. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Let me go back to the Barr letter because, I'm sort of preparing you for the future here and what's going to happen. I have no idea what's in the Mueller report. I have no clue. But I do know that the reason we're at this point is because the Democrats, all of those that put all of their hope, all of their belief, all of those that have lied, All of those that have said definitively that there was collusion, which has now gone on for over 2.5 years. This will be the last piece of the puzzle for them. The puzzle will then be complete. And the answer is not what they told you it was going to be. Definitively, they've told you. They have built up false hope. They have told outright lies. They have allowed their rage, their hatred for all things Trump, literally, no pun, trump their common sense. It defied all logic at the time, but they wouldn't allow themselves to see it because they're locked into the prism of waking up both the media and the Democrats every second, every hour, every minute of every 24-hour day, of every 7-day week, of every month, of every year now, in hating Donald Trump and all things Donald Trump and hating anybody that likes and supports Donald Trump. Smelly Walmart people, irredeemable deplorables that cling to their God, their Bibles, their guns, and their religion. Because that's what they think of us. You know, I'm really convinced, the Comey types, the upper echelon, those that abuse power, those that we will hold accountable. I really believe in their minds they do look down on the American people and think they know better. Think they know what is best for this country. They think they cannot believe smelly Walmart voters. Peter Strzok really believed Trump was loathsome and that Hillary should win 100 million to one, to zero, sorry. They can't get over, even Page and Strzok admitted after the 9-month FBI investigation from July of 2016 through the appointment of Mueller in May of 2017, they cannot believe that they didn't find any evidence. There's no there there. They had nothing. Both Page said it and Strzok said it. Thanks to the released closed-door testimony that we've gotten because of the courage of Congressman Doug Collins, who's going to join us at the top of the hour. They can't believe it. They can't wrap their arms around it. The media, if you watch them over the years, it was every day. Okay, gracious. You know, it sounded like hyperventilating.
Oh, this is such a blessing to see you, Mr. President. Thank you for taking time out of your day. Oh, gracious God, thank you so much.
It's things like that. It's the breathlessness and hysteria in reporting that has happened here. It has gotten so out of control. They never stopped. You know, there was a parallel universe that has existed for 2 years. And by the way, this is not patting myself on the back. It's not about that. You know, I'd rather never say a negative word about the world's premier law enforcement agency. Except, wow, we're so lucky to have them. And for the 99.9% of FBI agents, wow, we are lucky to have them. Because they protect us. You know, we shouldn't have to think that Schumer is right, that you take on the intel community, they're going to get you six ways on Sunday. I'm like, huh? This is the United States of America. We give them this awesome power. The tools of intelligence. Literally, they can listen in any conversation. Videotape anybody, any place, anywhere, anytime. Thank God when we use it right, because we're protecting our liberties and our freedom and this country that we love. And those that do that, many put their lives on the line. But you can't take the powerful tools of intelligence and turn them on the American people or turn them into a political weapon, which is what has happened here. I have no problem with the fact that Devin Nunes was right in 2014. Warning about the hostile regime of Putin and the hostile actors in Russia wanting to create havoc in our election process. He warned us. Nobody in the Obama administration would listen. He's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. They would not listen to him. And there were others that knew as well. And they did. And Robert Mueller, I know that they're not the indictments that mean as much as, process crimes like, Michael Cohen and loan applications and taxes with him and Manafort. And I have no earthly idea why General Flynn was treated, a 33-year vet, the way he was treated. It disgusts me that you have the deputy FBI director call him when FBI agents are on their way over to interrogate him. Say, no, you don't need a lawyer. To have the FBI director bragging that he was taking advantage, that it was only day four of the Trump administration. I'd never do this in the Bush administration or the Obama administration. Sure, we took full advantage of the chaos in the early days, to get General Flynn. That's how we treat a 33-year veteran. He doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt. Combat veteran, too, on top of it. He doesn't deserve to be told you better get a lawyer. He doesn't deserve not being sandbagged like this. The fact that the agents that interviewed him didn't think he lied at all. But that's what he pled guilty to. Why? Because he's broke. He had to sell his house. He has no money. And I'm sure they do what they always do, which is, put the screws to him so he sings or composes. Something we all now understand. Like we never understood what Bleach Pit was. Who ever heard of Bleach Pit? And now we get the four investigation, FBI 9-month investigation, the House Intel Committee investigation, the bipartisan Senate Committee investigation. And again, I'll quote directly from the Mueller report, which was put out by Mueller. This was not done by, anybody else. All these people. And in the Mueller report, when you actually read it, it's clear in stating there was no, here's what it says. The investigation did not establish, the Mueller report, did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. So now the only thing they've got in their arsenal that they've put all their hopes in is that Rod Rosenstein and Attorney General Barr, who were given the task by Mueller, here's the information. This is what the Democrats set up. You get to make the decision. Does it rise to the level of, first of all, what's the underlying crime of obstruction? What, that the president knows he didn't collude? Knows what Mueller's saying, what Mueller finally concluded that nobody conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in election activities, interference activities? So he's saying loudly it's a witch hunt. And they're going to say that's what? Obstruction? That's not obstruction. That's what innocent people do when they're accused of something they didn't do. Or the fact that he said, I hope that General Flynn, I hope nothing happens to him. That's not, he didn't stop the investigation, nor did he stop the indictment. So he couldn't have obstructed. If there's no collusion, what's the underlying crime? Firing Comey, I played it in the last half hour. He has every right to fire Comey. Obstruct what? What is he actually, this is what they've hung their hats on. And they'll find their 2-3 sentences and they'll beat the living crap out of it. And they'll all focus on the same thing. But it's irrelevant. The decision has been made. Remember, with obstruction, you also need something called intent. Now, we learned this week, again, all of these things that they have been telling you, they were wrong, and we pointed out for over 2 years how wrong they were. There weren't a lot of us. Joe DiGenova, Victoria, Greg Jarrett, David Schoen, Sidney Powell. We had John Solomon, Sarah Carter, Alan Dershowitz, help me out, Linda, because everyone gets mad when I take their name off.
I think you're good.
My team in radio and TV, everybody that is behind the scenes that you hear me talk of and those that you'll never hear me talk about. We were all over it. And what did we discover? And now what is being confirmed by these closed-door testimonies? Hillary's investigation was rigged. In other words, the midterm exam was fixed. And that even Page and Strzok admitted and knew it was fixed. We know now that the general counsel thought Hillary should have been indicted. We know that Strzok thought Hillary should win $100 million to $0. He got to do the interview with Hillary and broke all protocol and allowed Hillary to bring two people in with her on July 2nd, 2016. And then Comey goes forward July 5th, 2016, exonerates her, even though he lays out that she did everything that would violate the Espionage Act. And remember, Strzok, under the guidance of Comey, was writing the exoneration of May of 2016 before anybody was interviewed or before they ever investigated, an exoneration before an investigation. And then we know the intent, the crime is the Espionage Act, and the intent by erasing subpoenaed emails and destroying the hard drive, nobody knew what Bleach Bit was, and busting up devices, that would be obstruction. So those people Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, they're going to scream obstruction over nothing. They won't bring up Hillary's obstruction. Just like they don't care about I believe unless you can say I believe against a Republican or somebody that's tied to Trump. Because they're not doing it to the Virginia lieutenant governor, which is outrageous. The interviews that Gayle King had with these two women accusing him of rape, violent assault, sexual assault. Where are the I believers? Selective moral outrage. But what now, if they can't handle what Barr said, which is a fact, the Trump campaign was spied on, how are they going to handle these criminal referrals, Barr's full investigation, the FISA report of Horowitz, the Hoover report? What are they going to do as more testimony corroborates everything that we told you for 2.5 years that 99.9% of the news media missed? What I've been calling the biggest abuse of power corruption scandal in the history of this country. When the FISA applications are released, and yeah, Grassley, Graham, and Nunes are right, the bulk of information is Hillary's bought and paid for Russian dossier. How ironic. Russian lies used to and disseminated to, let's see, the Washington Post, David Korn, Michael Isikoff. Why? To influence the American people to believe, oh, that Trump had hookers in Russia. They were urinating on his bed. All of it debunked, and we know it was unverifiable because Christopher Steele doesn't even stand by his own dossier. Then they took away the constitutional rights of Carter Page, and then they got a backdoor into all things Trump campaign and spied on the Trump campaign. Then you have the whole issue of other people that the FBI coordinated with, and I believe at the end of this we're going to find out the intelligence community used foreign countries to sort of get around the restrictions and laws of this country to do their dirty work for them. Which is why these countries like Australia, Great Britain, maybe Italy, they don't want any of this out. They're scared to death because they're going to be exposed as having to coordinate it and work with some, only a few, intelligence people here to do things that are not legal here. And we get the information that way and skirt the law that way. That's all going to come out. It's not about being right. I wish this never happened. I don't ever want to talk badly about the world's premier law enforcement agency in the world or the world's premier intelligence community in the world. I don't. No joy at all. But they tried to take out a sitting president after he was elected with an insurance policy. And they used an opponent's phony dossier with Russian lies to do it. And the media was their willing accomplices in this. And the damage that they have done is tremendous. There's not a lot of them. That's the other thing. Just a few powerful at the top. And if we don't fix it, it's the end of the rule of law in America. We'll have a dual justice system, one for them and one for the rest of us. We won't have equal justice under the law. We won't have equal application of our laws. And we might as well just shred the Constitution, which has served us so well.
I've released several transcripts from the interviews the Judiciary Committee's investigations into the apparent wrongdoing at the FBI and Justice Department. Today, I'm releasing another. The American people deserve transparency. They deserve to know what transpired at the highest levels of the FBI and at the origin of the probe into President Trump's campaign. Therefore, Mr. Speaker, I request that the link, dougcollins.house.gov/Baker, be placed in the record so the American people can review the transcript of James Baker's interviews. Out of an abundance of caution, this transcript has a limited number of narrowly tailored redactions relating only to confidential sources and methods, non-public information about ongoing investigations, and non-material personal information. I will continue to work to release as many transcripts as possible, including the entirety of Mr. Baker's interview with the Judiciary Committee. The American people deserve the truth.
James Baker was the top lawyer at the FBI, reported directly to James Comey. Numerous officials at the DOJ and the FBI have told us under oath that the FBI, nobody at FBI or DOJ knew anything about the Democratic Party being behind the Clinton dirt. Well, now you have one of the top lawyers for the Democrats and the Clinton campaign who was feeding information directly to the top lawyer at the FBI before even the FISA warrant. So now you have absolute proof that that wasn't told to the FISA court. So you want your evidence of FISA abuse? There it is right there. A secret warrant was placed on an American citizen during a political campaign, and yet the FBI did not tell the court that they were getting this information directly from the opponent of that campaign. And this is really bad stuff. It's very simple. I mean, you just had it's not complicated. People should know. It's probably not appropriate for a top lawyer of the Democratic Party to take dirt and give it to the top lawyer at the FBI.
All right. What you just heard there was Devin Nunes and, wow, all these criminal referrals. Mark Meadows of North Carolina says that it's going to be a lot more than that. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. One of the reasons we are getting the closed-door testimony of Bruce and Nellie Orr and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and the McCain aide, and yeah, now I think two of the biggest blockbusters we've ever had, which is the general counsel under James Comey, the top lawyer at the FBI, James Baker. And the things that he's been saying is because they have courageously been given to the public by Congressman Doug Collins of Georgia, who joins us now. How are you?
I'm good, Sean. How about you?
I'm good. Let's go over Baker a little bit, because he thought, as all of us believe that have been on the right side of this, that from the very beginning, and Page and Strzok, the closed-door testimony that you released on them proves that the investigation into Hillary Clinton and the email server and then subsequent obstruction, was real, and he wanted to indict her. And it was... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want to make it clear, because it gets to be a lot of things out there. And Sean, you've done a great job of blocking this out night after night. But this is something that needs to be had, because everybody wanted to say this would never have gotten charged. Hillary was always in the clear. Nobody ever thought about her being indicted or drug into this. And that's why they were doing this, the process like they were. And this was the Democrats' talking point, Hillary's talking points. But the truth of the matter is, a lawyer who was looking at it objectively there at the department said he had every intention that there was going to something happen and was actually talked out of it. Now we know through the other transcript release that this was being pressured from probably the highest up of the attorney general on down, saying we're not going to handle it in that matter.
Well, I think what's really important here is that what the top lawyer at the FBI, James Baker, is saying is that, yeah, I think there's an indictment here, but I think it gets even more revealing in the earlier closed-door sessions and the testimony of Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, because they say a couple of things. But on this particular issue, they're like laughing at the fact that everybody knew there would be no indictment of Hillary, that the fix was in, that it was rigged, because unbeknownst to any of us up till this point, you getting out these transcripts, up to that point, we had no idea of the level of involvement of the attorney general at the time, which was Loretta Lynch. And Strzok and Page are both confirming that everything was being run through her office, and the FBI had no power and no decision making. And they're laughing amongst themselves in the sense, yeah, this is going nowhere. They're all Democrats. They're gonna cover this up. And they did. So they knew what was going on. And what that does to me, in my mind, raises a lot of questions about Loretta Lynch. Now, we already knew she improperly met with Bill Clinton on the tarmac in Arizona, supposedly 45 minutes talking about grandkids just days before the Department of Justice was to render their decision on the mid-year exam investigation into his wife. He's talking to Loretta Lynch, totally inappropriate. And we know that Comey testified that when he met with the attorney general, he was instructed not to call it an investigation, but a matter. And now Strzok and Page are saying that she controlled the whole thing.
Well, it is. And I think what's interesting, if you go back to the folks who want to see the transcript, they can get that. It's out there now. It's on our Twitter page. We put it out because we wanted everybody to see this. Pages on the day one transcript we released, it was on page 30, around 30, 32. Baker actually said he was concerned and freaked out about this. The mid-year exam is what they call the Clinton investigation, was being influenced by political decisions. And that was coming in coordination with the texts that were later revealed by Strzok and Page. This is important because everybody, you can't take these in separated parts. The transcripts, the texts, the other things that are all here give an insight into what was actually happening. The texts give you the sort of behind-the-scenes look at what they were thinking, as then comes forward in the transcripts as it was being set forth. And this was Baker. This is, again, the highest attorney was freaked out in his own words about what he was seeing about the political nature of what was then known as the mid-year exam, which for all of us is the Clinton email exam, the Clinton email discussion.
Well, let me give you, during the testimony, let me tell you how Baker described Clinton's behavior. Yeah, he said he freaked out, but he also said it is alarming and he found it appalling, and went on to admit under oath in this closed door session that, thanks to you, we have now available to us, arguing with others about why they thought she shouldn't be charged. And then in one of the earlier releases, this was by the Freedom of Information Act request from Judicial Watch. Well, they got FBI emails, and when some members of the FBI tested some of the emails, they only picked 40. And of the 40 emails, we're talking about 63,000. 33,000 ended up being deleted, remember. But they picked a sampling of 40, and four of them had top secret and classified information marked as such on the emails, which is a clear violation of the Espionage Act, 18 U.S.C. 793, which would render an indictment for any other American. Is that not a fact?
Well, that's what we've been saying all along, Sean, that this was handled differently. And when we were having the discussion about this, when we had Comey in, when I actually at one point, and go back in time, Comey in, I was actually told Comey, you got played. And he got furious with me. But I said, you got played. You got told what you wanted to see. You let her off because anybody else, and I am still in the military. I have to go through this every year on how you handle classified information at the levels that I am. And everybody understands this. So this is what made him a question. This is what made him appalled. It's what should make every American appalled, because these discussions, remember, were happening and taking place before they were ever really even digging in and interviewing witnesses such as Hillary Clinton, which all happened toward the end of this process. So,
we got to take it even a step further.
See this come in.
Because if you go, we have four separate investigations into Trump-Russia collusion that all come up with the same conclusion, which is nothing. Now, if we stay on this particular issue and the lead up to the exoneration of Hillary and James Comey's press conference on July 5th, 2016, just prior then to an immediate launch, although there's reason to believe it happened much earlier, into, quote, Trump-Russia collusion. But in May of 2016, we know as a fact that Peter Strzok, James Comey's involvement, are beginning to write Hillary's exoneration. This is before they interviewed her, before they interviewed 17 other key witnesses. The person, or one of the people that interviewed Hillary Clinton, was Peter Strzok. But also, the FBI doesn't allow other people in the room when you're being interviewed on a criminal investigation. She was allowed two people in there, highly unusual. And Strzok, we already know, had a political bias where he had stated that Clinton should win 100 million to zero. And that Trump voters, you know, he could smell them, the smelly Walmart people like me. So that would tell me that that investigation was tainted all the way around when they're writing an exoneration before even investigating.
Oh, I agree. And one of the interesting things, you mentioned the people being in the room. We're not only were there people in the room with Clinton who had been offered, you know, deals here, but they were also key fact witnesses. This was not just people that she was allowed to have. These were fact witnesses that had already been involved in this. So, yes, this is what we're seeing here, and this is why I was, you know, turning the sort of the attention to this week and what we've heard from Attorney General Bill Barr, who I cannot, again, we talk about appalling. It's appalling the way the Democrats are treating Attorney General Barr, who's actually done everything he said he would do. He's been factually accurate. He's been completely upfront and done exactly everything he wants to do. I don't care what Chairman Nadler says. He's not allowed to get, and what he wants is two different things because he actually has to go by the regulations and the law. So I'm tired of the Democrats and my chairman twisting that fact. And Bill Barr going back now and saying, I want to see how this started. I want to know what's going on. And remember, we still have the Horowitz internal IG investigation over the FISA issue. There's still Huber out there who's looking into this as well. So I'm glad to see, and the American people ought to be happy to see this is happening. That's why we're releasing these transcripts. That's why we're having these conversations.
Well, I want to ask you about that.
There was no collusion.
But there was none. The FBI determined that. Also, the House Intel Committee, the bipartisan Senate Intel Committee, and, of course, the Mueller report. You can't be any more clear. All right. We'll come back. We'll continue on the other side of this. Congressman Doug Collins, single-handedly responsible for these closed-door transcripts now being made available to the public, which now is filling in a lot of gaps about the abuse of power and corruption that we have been telling you about. All right, as we continue with Congressman Doug Collins, who single-handedly has made available the closed-door transcripts of Nelly Brusseur, Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, two separate closed-door interviews with the general counsel, James Baker, under Comey, a person who thought that Hillary should be indicted. Based on all we know, I have two questions in the short time we have. Based on all we know, if there's justice and equal justice and equal application of laws, should the Hillary investigation be reopened based on just what we know now?
I believe there's enough evidence right now to have a serious discussion about that, because we see, and we've so much now that we know after the fact has come to light. I think an honest investigation would show that here's the issues that were happening without the prejudice of political bias, without the prejudice of an attorney general saying this isn't an investigation, this is a matter. I think it is definitely something that could happen.
Okay, next question is, how many more closed door transcripts are available? How many more will be coming? Do you know?
Yes. We've got more coming, and it's sort of funny now that we've started releasing the transcripts. We actually heard sort of, at least it was reported to me, true or not, it was up there, but it was heard that others like Andy McCabe is saying, release our transcripts. Well, don't worry, Mr. McCabe, you're in line. You're getting ready. We'll release yours as well. He was very early on in the process, and we'll explain that as we go further. We're going to release all of these that were done so that the people can see with transparency. It is the Republicans that are looking for transparency. It's the Republicans that want the truth. It is the Republicans that keep putting the interest of the American people and our national security up front. You cannot have a Department of Justice and an FBI in which people believe there's two sets of justice scales here, one for the Clintons and the Democrats and one for everybody else. We've got to make sure that we continue to do this. Bill Barr is committed publicly to making sure he looks into this. That's why we're going to be releasing these transcripts, and that's just why I believe that it is important for the American people to understand the whole story.
But next week we're going to get the only thing they've got left, the Mueller report. I'm sure they'll find a sentence or two they want to cling on to in the rage Trump media mob, but we have the criminal referrals of Devin Nunes, now a attorney general, Barr, William Barr, who has his investigation, the Horowitz report, the Huber report, more closed-door testimony that you're releasing, and the president, the last time I interviewed him, will be releasing the FISA applications, Gang of Eight materials, the 302s, and we have a new investigation. Ukraine has admitted tampering and trying to influence our elections and helping Hillary Clinton. If only somebody would pay attention, they want to give us the evidence. Thank you, Doug Collins, Congressman, Georgia. We appreciate you being with us. Ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee, sir.
Thanks, John. I look forward to talking to you again.
All right, when we come back, he's back, James O'Keefe, the next in a series of voter fraud exposed. More of a Hannity investigation continuing. News you won't get anywhere else. Glad you're with us. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
All right. Do you happen to have, I'm missing something here, do you happen to also have a residence in Florida?
I used to.
You used to?
Yep.
Okay. Because I'm also seeing that you voted absentee in Florida in the 2018 election.
2018.
That would be this past
last
one.
Year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was down there for a funeral, and so I voted in early voting.
Oh, you early voted in Florida in 2018, and then you voted in person in the polls here in New Hampshire?
Yeah, I guess I did.
Okay. And so the 2018 congressional race, that would have been, looks like Soderbergh was the Democrat versus Walz, the Republican.
Where?
In Florida. For the congressional district.
I don't know anything about that.
Okay. And that's just who was running, I think.
Okay, so do you still own your property down there in Florida?
No.
You don't? Okay.
I haven't owned it for a couple of years.
But they still let you, I'm just curious, they still let you, were able to let you vote down there in Florida in 18?
I was still on the voter list.
Still registered?
As a registered voter, yeah.
Got it.
That's interesting. So, so you were able to vote in both places, and so you voted there, you voted early, and then you came back up here?
I voted there because I was there for a funeral.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
I voted early down there because I was down there for the funeral, and I had to swap out cars at the dealership in Palm Coast. Mm-hmm. And then I got back up here in November, and I voted the election.
So, and you're a resident here in New Hampshire?
Yes, definitely.
Do you know how long have you been a New Hampshire resident, not a Florida resident?
I don't know. It's kind of foggy.
Yeah.
It was not a happy situation in Florida.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Sometimes we get these glitches in our data, and it'll give us, like, for some reason, there was, like, a New Hampshire address for him.
Yeah.
And this one, and we were just really confused.
Yeah, we were married. We're not. I'm here, but he's there.
So he lived here at some point?
Yes, he did.
Okay. But how long has it, when did he move to New Hampshire?
2 years ago now.
Okay. And the address?
3 years ago, 2016.
So, okay, because we thought that he lived here because we go to the Board of Elections to verify our data, and it had that he voted here in person.
Like early voting.
Like for the last 3 elections.
So he's still voting in Florida?
That's what it said. That's what they told us.
Huh.
Did I write it down?
I don't know.
Yeah, I have it.
So here it is. Okay, so she said Robertville, 2018, 2016 general early voting. So that would have been like in person. So,
he hasn't lived here. The only thing I can think of, I mean, I know in New Hampshire you have to show your driver's license when you vote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if he voted there and he was here for a funeral and voted here. He should not be voting anymore in Florida.
The New Hampshire union leader, headline top fold, Project Veritas targets Atkinson man for voter fraud. What do you mean targets? All right, let's get to the bottom of this. Project Veritas releasing undercover footage of a New Hampshire resident admitting to voting twice in the 2018 general election. Yes, it is a Atkinson, New Hampshire resident. Now, he had cast an early voting ballot in Florida and voted in person at the polls in New Hampshire and is admitting to such. Now, this is the third video in a series that Project Veritas has released exposing the faces of voter fraud. Now, you know, as James O'Keefe will join us in a second said, voter fraud is real. The integrity of America's electoral system is being undermined. Election insiders, poll workers, and even voters can help Project Veritas expose double voting, ballot harvesting and voting by illegal immigrants, which, by the way, is even being advocated by top Democrats now. The ironic thing about all of this is now we actually have an investigation in New Hampshire into Project Veritas. And literally, he got a subpoena when he went to New Hampshire to show the video to state officials. And now James O'Keefe, he was there to testify for an investigation into the operations of Project Veritas. What are they going to? James O'Keefe, by the way, who is the founder of Project Veritas, joins us now. So now you're the target, not the guy that voted twice is the target.
Yeah, but Sean, that's typical in my life. As you rightfully pointed out, the subpoena, which was handed to me by the state officials when I showed them the video, they hadn't even finished watching the video in the lobby of the building in Concord, New Hampshire. The state officials were prepared to give me a subpoena, quote, into the operations of Project Veritas, unquote. And it's kind of created a massive story there in the state. As you said, it's on the front page of the papers. They're saying I'm targeting a guy, targeting a man. This man admitted he voted twice. You played all that audio. The audio you heard was of the man and of his ex-wife, both admitting to what he did. And he also admitted it to the newspaper. And for some reason, Sean, they're coming after me. And this is in our day and age. The powers that be use the legal system to settle political disputes and targets journalists for exposing voter fraud. And they don't want exposed.
Well, the thing is, I'm just trying to understand why is there a subpoena against you? Now, I know because of years of showing the work that you do to our audience and telling people about what you're doing. And I know you get a lot of criticism from the media, but it's frankly old style 60 Minutes is what you're doing. And but they always go after you, the person. Here you have a guy that did something illegal. And listen, by the way, I'm not saying this guy should go to jail. I'm not convicting him. I'm just listening in his own words what he's doing here. I am concerned about the integrity of our elections, about the electoral system in the country. I know New York is now talking about early voting, all these states early voting. To me, it just lends itself to more possible corruption and crime associated with ballot stuffing or whatever other activities some people get involved in. And to have the integrity of our system must be in the forefront of our minds. We want to elect the right people and we want a fair system. So now this conversation is New Hampshire a one-party record state? I assume it is.
Right. That the issue is, Sean, and again, I have no evidence. The subpoena is not specific. It just says into the operations of Project Veritas. I would suspect, Sean, that New Hampshire, as you point out, is a state where you require the consent of both people. But there's an exception. If you have the camera out in public view, if they can see the camera, right? I mean, news crews interview people all the time in New Hampshire. They interview candidates every day. So when we talked to this man, Robert Bell, we had the camera out in the open. It was a massive television camera that we were using. And you also have to weigh, I think you have to weigh the newsworthiness of what you're reporting. I mean, this is a pretty big story. A guy confesses to committing a felony. It's a felony in New Hampshire. It's a felony in Florida. It's a federal felony. And he confesses it. So you have to weigh what is a compelling public interest. And the bottom line, Sean, is that the powers that be, the people that are in that attorney general's office, the holdovers from a previous Democratic administration in the state, don't want voter fraud exposed. They've come after me a number of times in the past. You know those stories there. And the former governor wanted me prosecuted for exposing voter fraud. That's what this is really about. They don't want facts exposed that undermine their narrative that this cannot happen, because this is an incontrovertible, irrefutable piece of evidence. No one's ever done it before, as far as I know. Cross-referenced all the voters in Florida and New Hampshire and found duplicates, interviewed them, and gotten a confession. No one's ever done that before. We've done it. They don't like it. So they're going to try to make an example out of me, Sean, by issuing me a subpoena so that the media can say, O'Keefe got a subpoena. He must have done something wrong. And that's what's wrong with this country, is that nobody has the stones to actually expose fraud, because they're going to come after you for doing it. And I think that's wrong. And I actually think it's a good thing they did it, because I think people are finally waking up and seeing what they're doing.
Let's talk about the other examples of voter fraud that you have found and what else is in the works, because there's always a lot of things in the works with you. Right. Tell me what you found and what's coming after this.
Well, this is, as I said, part three. You've said part three in an investigation. We cross-reference the data in New York. We cross-reference the data in New York and Florida, in New Hampshire and Florida. And we're going to be doing this across the United States. There's 50 states in the union, so we're going to go to California and Texas. We're going to go to Texas and New York. We're going to go to all these states. Colorado is a mail-in ballot system. And just show instance after instance after instance of confessing voter fraud. We're also going to investigate ballot harvesting, where companies do this, illegal aliens voting, although, as you point out, some people are proudly saying that this is okay. But, Sean, they don't even think that voter fraud is possible. They don't even say that people can vote twice or do vote twice. So we're trying to show you that evidence that's impossible to deny. And we're also going to be in New Hampshire, Sean, in reviewing some of the candidates there. And we're going to not break any laws. We're going to make sure that we are in full compliance with the law. But we will be filming in New Hampshire. We will be covertly talking to some of the presidential candidates about this issue that are in New Hampshire currently. I just think that these people are trying to, you know, shut me down, break my will, and deter others from doing what I'm doing by issuing me the subpoena.
It really is amazing the times we live in, I got to tell you. All right, when we come back, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour, Ami Horowitz finding virulent anti-Semitism at a Duke UNC conference. Yeah, right here in America. That's next. And your call straight ahead. All right, as we continue with James O'Keefe of Project Veritas, you have how many attorneys now that work with Project Veritas?
We have 14 attorneys that work with me.
Yeah, okay. So at the end of the day, you know, you vet every state law, every federal law before you involve yourself in any operation, correct?
That's correct. Absolutely.
And New Hampshire is a one-party record state, is it not?
Yeah, it is, unless there's an area of no expectation of privacy or if the camera is visible and we satisfied both of those requirements.
There you go. So this is basically a harassment subpoena. And who are you supposed to respond to?
Well, I think that the top attorney general, who is appointed by Sununu, I don't think he, from my understanding, from my sources, I don't even think he knew about it. Apparently, he wasn't in the state that day, and some people who are holdovers made a decision. So I have to show up in court on May 17th. I'm going up to New Hampshire on Saturday to give a speech. I'm not sure what the purpose of the end goal of the subpoena is. Is it to put me in jail? Is it to arrest me? Is it to reveal my sources? But no self-respecting journalist, Sean, in this country would comply with this. And that's where we are as a country, is who is a journalist and who is not? Who has the rights to inform the public when the media is abdicating their responsibilities? The citizens have to do the job now. And they would say the citizens don't have the rights. So it's a really interesting point, I think, in our country's history when independent people have to do the media's job for them and the government doesn't consider me a journalist. This is a very fascinating moment, and my solution is to press on, is to recruit more people, to do more stories on voter fraud, and I actually think that their reaction will be the death of them. I think that they're showing who they really are, and I think it's a good thing in the end.
We have all these videos on Hannity.com, ProjectVeritas.com as well. Well, once again, James O'Keefe, we appreciate you sharing your undercover work with us. We'll follow the story. We'll see what happens with the subpoena. And to me, that's just an intimidation effort on their part. And we'll watch it all closely, and I expect more in the future. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it. All right, 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program.
Coming up next, our final news roundup and information overload hour.
Blacks have a lot of also reason to be angry.
The conference wouldn't allow me to film inside, so my sound guy set me up with a hidden mic. With very little prodding, the veneer of being anti-Israel in an effort to hide their hatred of Jews was easily scratched away and devolved into open anti-Semitism. I first asked them about the most powerful modern anti-Semitic trope. Does Jewish money control U.S. government policy?
U.S. government dollars? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You guys, not you guys. Jewish lobbyists are very rich.
And the Jewish lobby is influencing our government and how that's changing U.S. policy. That's why I'm here.
Strictly known for everyone.
With you on that one.
They're influencing our politics.
You know, the money rules the world.
Yeah.
No, meaning like makes the decision.
I appreciate your courage.
Oh, this is interesting what you are doing, right?
Yeah.
Impressive.
I'm Jewish. I don't know. Is
I could already tell. You didn't have to tell me.
I don't take offense to that at all.
No. I mean, I appreciate people who are questioning their own background.
Look at the treatment of Ethiopian Jews, right? Jews that are supposedly in the club, but they're Ethiopian, they're black. Like refugees who come to Israel, assuming it's a Jewish state, have actually been sterilized in the past.
Or you're telling me that the Jewish government sterilized Ethiopian Jews coming into Israel?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you
to leave. Why?
The director does not want you.
When are we causing trouble?
We don't understand what your intentions are.
We're still asking you to leave the premises, sir.
Just days after the conference, swastikas were found on campus. 38 of the largest departments and schools at the University of North Carolina sponsored this event. It also got a federal grant of nearly $250,000.
Oh, anti-Semitism. Yeah, okay. So this is my other song. It's just a typical love song. But the title is called Mama, I Fell in Love with a Jew. It's a bit different. It's the same, but different. And I'm gonna need your help to sing it with me. When I say something like, let's try. When I go like, oh, I'm in love with a Jew. I fell in love with a Jew. That's all you have to say. I'm in love with a Jew. I fell in love with a Jew. All right? Then I'll continue and say, her skin is white and my skin is brown. She was going up, I was going down. Right? Let's go. It all happens in the elevator. True story. Not real names, not real events. So, let's try it together because I need your help. I cannot be at this semantic alone. Oh! I'm in love with the Jew. Guys, when I say, oh, I need to say I'm in love with the Jew. Let's try it again. Oh!
I'm in love with the Jew.
I fell in love with the Jew. Her skin is white and my skin is brown. She was going up, I was going down. Oh!
Wow, unbelievable. News Roundup, Information Overload Hour. Interesting few weeks Tommy Horowitz had as his work took him to a major Duke UNC conference where you can hear, and he'll explain in more detail, was exposed to and actually filmed open anti-Semitism. Now, we've talked a lot about Congresswoman Omar and others and the comments, virulent anti-Semitism on the rise, not just in America, but sadly in the halls of Congress throughout Europe, and now on tape at this particular conference. And literally, you know, he has traveled the world himself. He's embedded himself in Palestinian groups and even with terrorists. Remember, he joined the migration to Europe and Germany when he got in boats in Greece and Turkey. And Ami was pretty shocked to see this open hatred for the Jewish people here in the U.S. And then he puts it on YouTube, and YouTube took down him exposing hate speech, which is in and of itself unbelievable to me. Ami Horowitz, how are you?
It's always a pleasure being with you, Sean. I'm a man.
Well, first, it was amazing, and I'm very grateful and thankful that the people of Israel re-elected Prime Minister Netanyahu in a really simple election. All the polls had it wrong, as they usually do, but he's been a voice of moral clarity on the world stage now for a long time, and to lose that voice, especially at a time when the United States and Israel have never been closer, as President Trump has recognized Jerusalem as the rightful capital of Israel and Golan Heights as the territory of Israel. Very important distinctions that other presidents said they would do but never did. All right, so you go to Duke this UNC conference. Let's why don't you paint the picture, bring us into what's going on.
Sure. So I heard about this conference that was going to be ostensibly about Gaza, but as we all know, these things can always end up being, Israel bash fest, even though they're, major university conferences. So I went there to see what I could uncover and find. Of course, I found that it was a whitewash of Hamas, a whitewash of Hezbollah. It attacked Israel at every turn. But that, unfortunately, was not what shocked me. What shocked me was this. It just devolved into open and obvious and disgusting anti-Semitism. Look, this whole veneer, it used to be, maybe a few years ago, that when people were attacking Israel, there was a debate whether or not if you're only attacking Israel, not other countries, does that make you anti-Semitic? I think it does. But at least the other side could have pretended that it really was about Israel, not about Jews. That has all gone away over the last few years. And the only good news, the only silver lining, is that we see who these people are for what they really are. So when I got to this conference, the main event, you played a part of what he was saying, the main event, the main entertainment for the night was this Palestinian rapper who, by the way, the New York Times, a few days later, not knowing he made these comments, because I hadn't released it yet, had this fawning article about him, how wonderful he is and how great he is for his Palestinian community. He got up there and rapped openly anti-Semitic song where he says, this is my anti-Semitic song. And the whole audience is giving him repeated standing ovations. It was absolutely disgusting. As I watched, by the way, the head of this conference, who works at University of North Carolina, standing there watching with its big smile on his face. Sean, it was one of the most repulsive things I've ever witnessed in my life.
What's the worst that you heard there, and explain in detail?
I mean, it was all awful. I mean, essentially, I wanted to get a sense from the professors, the students, the administrators who were attending, what their views were about, not Israel, Jews. So I used one of the most offensive, damaging tropes that has ever existed about Jews, that Jews use their money to control governments, okay? And I asked them, does Jewish money, not Israel, Jewish money control the U.S. government? And I would say I spoke to probably 30, 40 people. And I would say among those 30, 40 people, two people said, I don't really think so. Everybody else absolutely and totally agreed with that statement. Okay? It was absolutely insane. It was incredible. And it was unbelievable that this is exactly what the response I was getting from these students, professors, and administrators.
You know, so you hear about this conference going on, and, you know, this is what you do, and this is what you're really good at, and you have a lot of courage to go into this environment. I was really insulted, you know, when they said, oh, I knew you were Jewish. I'm like, what? With all due respect, I can tell.
If that was the worst of it, then I'd be okay with it. But I mean,
you expect these attitudes from neo-Nazis or these insane
Correct.
White nationalists, or radical Islamists that believe in this extreme Sharia that chant death to America, death to Israel, burn the American flag, burn the Israeli flag. Or some of the propaganda that kids and Hamas, they even have cartoons that teach and indoctrinate young children into hating the Jews when they're 2 and 3. And indoctrinate some kids into, you know, that it's okay, we'll strap bombs on you to kill innocent people. And, you know, Allah awaits you in heaven with 72 virgins, and parents allow their children and encourage their children sometimes to do this.
Yes,
this is real.
You don't expect it from the halls of Congress and the halls of academia. And the big lie that's out there, the big lie, is that all this, everybody agrees that anti-Semitism is on the rise. But they all seem to think this somehow started all in 2016, which is the biggest lie. The growth in anti-Semitism, we know that neo-Nazis don't like Jews. Whoopee, thanks a lot. I didn't realize that. But the growth in anti-Semitism is on our college campuses, and it's coming from the left, almost exclusively our college campuses from the left, and they're doing nothing about it. Look, you're looking at the leadership of people on the left now. Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar are not just two freshman congresswomen. They are dictating the policies of the Democratic Party, which is why most of the major candidates for president wouldn't even go to AIPAC, a bipartisan partisan organization for Israel. They wouldn't go there because essentially they got their marching orders from Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and the rest of their disgusting crew.
You know, let me play because I really, you know, we've had these anti-Semitic comments. For example, Congresswoman Omar and the more recent controversy about and something happened about 9/11 and. Well, we lost nearly 3,000 Americans that day because radical Islamists, you know, thought that this attack on America was something good that they were doing and that they were trained to believe is a good thing. Let me play her remarks.
CARE was founded after 9/11.
That's not true.
Because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties.
Some people did something. Well, something. What? This. I love the New York Post yesterday. This is the something.
But you know, let's not forget the CARE. It was the unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation when they were raising money for Hamas. So this is the organization she was speaking to. Just so we're clear.
And by the way, they were formed, I believe, in 1994. They were not formed after 9/11, 2001. But I will tell you. You know, I listened and her anti-Semitic remarks prior and this unwillingness of the Democratic Party. I mean, a real unwillingness of the Democratic Party to challenge and take on this virulent anti-Semitism. I mean, the comments that she made at this CARE event, Chuck Schumer said no comment. Why not, Chuck? You live in New York. You knew people that died on 9/11 just like I did. I know people that died in the Pentagon. We'll never forget what happened in that field in Pennsylvania. You know, I knew people that worked for Cantor Fitzgerald. The whole literally floors of Cantor Fitzgerald employees were wiped out that day. Firemen ran up the stairs when every bit of common sense would say, get the hell out of there to save lives. And first responders and cops, you know, that something. Something happened that day? No, we were attacked. We were attacked by radical Islamists that want to destroy Israel and America. And this is now acceptable speech on a college campus at a college conference?
It's despicable. And by the way, so everybody knows, there's an actual bill that Tim Scott and Bob Casey have sponsored, which is being stalled, that we need to push through called the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, which essentially, if universities don't investigate incidents of anti-Semitism, which a lot of times they don't, they will be in trouble losing federal funding. This conference got $250,000 grant from the U.S. federal government, Sean. What are we doing? We got to stop this stuff. Got to stop it.
All right, got to take a break. We'll come back. More with filmmaker Ami Horowitz on the other side. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. All right, Ami Horowitz continues with us on the Sean Hannity Show. Let's go to YouTube. So you posted this on YouTube, right? Why would they ever take it down?
So I got an email from them. It was taken off, right? It was, you know, we put it up, and about 30 minutes later, you know, the views are rolling in, and all of a sudden it just stopped. I was wondering why, and I got an email from YouTube saying that, well, we've identified this as hate speech. It was flagged by some people. They reviewed it. It wasn't even like it was some kind of algorithm. They actually had a human review it and say, oh, this is hate speech. And they essentially took it down. They basically made it where you couldn't find it in a finder, and you couldn't share it. You couldn't do anything with a stupid video unless you had the actual URL. So it was impossible to find. They essentially banned it. And for 24 hours, nobody could see it. But I made an appeal, and the number of people who I tweeted about it contacted YouTube. And YouTube actually made a statement, shockingly, apologizing for their error and then reinstated it. But the fact that somebody, a human being, reviewed what I did, what I was exposing anti-Semitism, exposing hate speech, and to call me hate speech, Sean, it's the height of irony. I don't know what else to call it.
Unbelievable. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to put this up on our website, all right? So if you want to see it, make a judgment for yourself. Unlike YouTube, we're not gonna censor this. Ami, again, thank you. Very courageous and very important work you're doing. We appreciate it and support you in what you're doing every day. Thank you.
Oh, always my pleasure, my man.
All right, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number, Friday concert series, and yes, your calls, final half hour. What a week this has been, and what a week is coming next week. Buckle up. These are now interesting times and probably more interesting than I've seen in a career. Straight ahead. Just seeing a little bit of the Linda dance thing, whatever. What do you call that you just were doing in there? Thing, dancing, the hands and the moves. And
some people call it dancing. I would not call what you do dancing, but all right.
I don't do dancing. I'm
aware.
I can't dance. I don't know how to dance.
I've witnessed it.
Listen, when I watch these people, you know, you see people at weddings or parties or whatever, and they, you know, they're feeling all good because they had a couple of drinks and they get.
I don't need any
alcohol
to do what I'm doing.
Oh, it's obvious. You didn't have any, so it's obvious that, you know, you're perfectly fine doing it. But you watch the guys in particular. It's like so embarrassing how they do it. You know,
There is nothing more attractive than a man who can dance, let me tell you right now.
What about a man that can't dance that's, you know, got a slight buzz on that's trying to dance?
We pity you, that's all.
No, but I'm smart enough to know not to do it because I don't know how to do it.
Every once in a while, you have to take a little risk, Sean. You gotta shake a little something.
My whole life has been a risk. Every time, everything I've done in my life.
Not political risks, not career risks. You know, you have to dance like no one's watching.
Okay, I don't dance when no one's watching either. There's no dancing in my showers. I don't sing in the shower. I sing in the car sometimes, but
I've heard you sing on air on this show.
The Devil Went Down to Georgia? Sorry,
you've sung
count.
Other songs too. I mean, you sing terribly, but at least you don't care.
No, I care a lot, actually. It's humiliating, but you know, it was for a good cause. That's why I did it. And the worst part is. You know, it takes one of Charlie's signature songs and...
Should we play it now so you can sing along?
No, I don't want to sing along. No, no
sure?
Singing today. No. But Linda actually sang for years and years in a real band.
What was
the guy's name that was on American Idol that you sang with years? Big Mike, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you could sing every weekend, three times a weekend still if you wanted.
Yeah, I was doing five weddings a weekend. It was great.
It's crazy. People don't believe me when I tell them I used to bartend five weddings a weekend. How'd you do that?
Well, you know what's fun is when you do the second and the third wedding. It really gives you a lot of faith in marriage.
Oh, geez. Does it mean they request you 10 years later?
Well, listen, you know, I would get, you know, I'd be friendly with the wife or the husband. And then, you know, they call it quits. And the wife would say, listen, I'm getting married again. You want to do my second wedding? I'm like, sure.
Did you ever do a wedding and then you did the wife's second wedding and the husband's second wedding?
I have.
Oh, my gosh. That's not a little weird then, huh?
Not at all. I've actually done weddings where the formers were guests at both of their previous spouses' weddings.
Oh, my gosh. Well, what's the world coming to? I know one wedding in particular, you told me, and I don't know if you want to go here or not, that at the wedding, the groom
that was a hot mess.
You out.
I wouldn't call it asking out, but okay.
I'm trying to be diplomatic here. I couldn't believe on his wedding day.
Someday I'll write a book.
All right, write a book.
It'll be in the X-rated section, but it'll be a book.
All right, let's get to our busy phones. Let's say hi to Chad is in Midland, Texas. Hey, Chad, how are you? Glad you called.
Hey, Sean, I'm doing good. I hope you're doing great. You're the best on radio and TV, and thank you for taking the call.
Well, thank you for calling. Glad you called.
Yes, sir. Listen, it's been a huge news week, and we can get a little bummed out on political talk. So I know you like to have fun. You like to talk sports. You know, with the the Stanley Cup playoffs in full swing, I'm checking to see if you're going to watch your buddy Doc Emmerich call a game. Do you think your Islanders? What? No, you're a Rangers fan. I'm sorry.
Well, Doc, Islanders, by the way, is one of the best of all time. Hockey is one of the hardest. Well, football's hard too, and basketball a little easier, but it's really hard to call a hockey game, in my opinion. Don't you think?
I never call one, but it's really exciting, and there's nothing like Stanley Cup playoffs ever, especially in person and TV. Who do you think is going to win the Masters?
You know, I don't know. I mean, because Tiger's in the hunt, I guess he had a 70 the first day, and that's the score that he got on the previous occasions when he won the Masters and played at Augusta. Augusta's the most beautiful golf course on the face of the earth. It just is. And it's just that good. I went there once after the Masters, and you wouldn't know that all of those people were all over that golf course. You could literally register every piece of grass at Augusta. So I'm there, and one of the guys actually showed me a couple of the putts. I mean, if you want to putt a hole that's down here to the left, you have to putt all the way up to the right, down the center, out the middle, and down the side, and then get anywhere near the cup. It's crazy. By the way, this is Doc Emmerich. Play him. He's great. So you hear Doc. I mean, I am mesmerized by him. I could not do what he just did there. He's so, I mean, he's phenomenal.
He is. I hope my Dallas Stars get a game on NBC Sports so I could just watch him call the game versus the guys who normally call the Stars games. What did you think about your New York or New Jersey Jets news uniforms? Have you seen those?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm a fan of it. By the way, you know other announcers I like? I like Joe Buck. I think he's awesome. He's got a great set of pipes. Jim Nance is the nicest human being in broadcasting. I met Bob Costa. He's a great guy. I don't think he agrees with my politics, but he's a very, very nice man. We've had conversations a few times. I don't know. I love sports broadcasting.
I think one of your sports broadcasting fellas should get you like in a booth for like a preseason.
No,
like that.
No. I'm only watching. I'm not going to go in and try. You know, by the way, you know, you have, for example, Russian Canadian names and all over hockey, and it's like I don't know how you know, and he does it so quickly. You've got to have that encyclopedic memory and ability to pronounce names that well. It's not my greatest skill in life. I'd have to literally spend an entire day before, you know, writing it out. No, forget it. That's phonetically, but
right.
Whatever.
I think it'd be fun to watch you. Now, speaking of hockey, you know, my son and I went to New York last month, and we caught an Islanders game at the Nassau Coliseum. So I was kind of like, a rock throw away from you, Sean. It was great because it was a smaller arena. I don't know if you've ever been there lately or not.
No. Look, I watched the Islanders and Flyers. I was the biggest Bobby Clark fan growing up because I was a hockey player. And I loved hockey back in the old days when they would have more fights and it was real. And it's just a little more exciting, and I know they've cut back on it. And I'm not looking for anyone to get hurt. Like, for example, some of the rules in football are necessary based on the fact that all these guys are getting these concussions and they have lifelong ramifications for these guys. We got to make it a little bit safer, but not destroy the sport. Makes sense to me. But
what about
all right, good
Matt?
Diversion, Chad. I appreciate it. Thanks for being with us. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. Remember, so next week, the Democrats, we already know Mueller's conclusion on both obstruction and any collusion. But the media will still try to find something. What they don't know is the cascading documents that will be pounding on their head, proving that they've been liars and conspiracy theorists. The criminal referrals, the Barr investigation, Horowitz report on FISA, Uber report on leaking. Monday, Sean Hannity Show. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.